John Shorthouse, the man who gave us that call, Slay the Dragon, joins us this morning. Good morning, Shorty.
How's it going, boys?
Good, good. 8 years already. Does it feel that long?
No, it doesn't. That was so much fun. That entire spring was so much fun. And to think of how different it could have been, that goal was just so significant in the history of the franchise. Because, you know, if Patrick Sharp scores, and you remember that Chicago had the power play in overtime, and I was in perfect line with Sharp as he let go with that shot to the right of Roberto Luongo. And you thought that was game, set, match right there. Chicago was going to overcome a 3-0 deficit, win the series in game 7. And the Canucks, as we knew them, were never going to be the same again. There's no question in my mind that Alain Vigneault would have been fired. His entire staff probably would have been out. The Sedins may well have been traded. The whole thing would have been blown up. And instead, Luongo comes to his right, makes the save on what looked to me like a sure goal. And that sets the stage for Alex Burrows to do what he did and allow the Canucks to go on that run that left them one game short. And it's still to this day, when you talk about that 2011 playoff run, as dominant as the Canucks were in the regular season, and you talk about winning the President's Trophy, having the best, if not one of the best, if not the best, because the numbers are escaping me now, power play, among the best, if not the best, penalty killing, goals for, goals against, the differential was incredible. And all they had to do, and I hate to break everyone's heart again at this time of the morning as you're driving to work, all they had to do was not lose 4 out of 5.
Yeah. You know, oh, yeah, that.
Yeah, that one, too.
They were so dominant all year. They owned the East. They just, you know, when they came out and won games 1 and 2 at home, you figured this is it. Like, this is the time. And to this day, I'm not going to say I think about it every day, but it's very often that I think about the fact that they were such a dominant team. They ran into, obviously, injury issues on the defense, suspension issues on the defense, and all they had to do was not lose 4 out of 5.
And it would have made the tough years that we've endured in the last 3 or 4 that much easier, because you would have had that one ring. John Shorthouse joining us on the starting lineup, Rick Perry and James. Shorty, the celebration, the relief. I mean, you talk about 2011, you got a Burrows overtime goal in the Stanley Cup Final, but that moment after he beat Chicago, was that maybe the biggest celebration that building has ever had? And I would say on par with Sidney Crosby winning a gold medal to celebrate a goal.
Yeah, I was gonna throw Crosby in there if you didn't, but yeah, I mean it was so cathartic.
Yeah,
you know, because and you know, I've told the story that before about the genesis of Slay the Dragon, and I mean, this was the Canucks' big nemesis. You know, this was the hill they couldn't get over. They'd lost to Chicago 2 years in a row in the second round. Some people were happy that they drew the Hawks in the first round, and some people were petrified because, the Canucks had some good teams, some teams that people figured could challenge for the Stanley Cup, and Chicago kept getting in the way, and it was petrifying to some that, you know, they might suffer the same, you know, results, the demise at the hands of Chicago again. And it just made things that much more interesting. I use the word cathartic. I think that's, you know, that sums it up, because it was just like everyone could exhale in a really big way after Burrows scored. And, you know, the genesis of the Slay the Dragon was exactly that, with a friend of mine, Mike Gifford, in Los Angeles, the day the Canucks found out who they were playing. And it came down to the last day of the season. There were multiple options of who the Canucks might play in the first round. It all depended on the out-of-town scoreboard. And when the dust settled, it was Chicago. And so I got an email from my friend in California saying, time to slay the dragon. That was the subject line. And I didn't really think about it. I didn't plan it as a, as something I would ever say, but it just popped into my head as the puck went in. And that really was the feeling. The Canucks had, you know, as Jim said on TV, they'd exorcised their demons. It was a wonderful day for an exorcism. I mean, there were so many ways to describe the emotion of the city and the province when that puck went in the net.
John Shorthouse with us here on Sportsnet 650, 8 years to the day that Burrows slayed the Dragon. And so that was totally organic in that moment.
I guess you could say it wasn't, because someone had planted the seed, but I never think out these things very much. You know, I've had other people say to me, I wish this had happened because this would have been my call.
Shorty, to that point, like you think of, you know, iconic moments in history, whether a guy's reaching a milestone or nearing a milestone. Some guys like to have a little something back pocketed or just a little something. But so you didn't have anything in your mind going into that.
Well, because you don't, especially when it gets to overtime, you don't know how it's going to end. So there's really no, in my mind, you just have to react off of what happens. And it's not to say I don't think about things. You're always thinking about things, whether you're out walking the dog in the woods or you're having a shower or whatever. I mean, you know, your mind's always turning. But there's just, I don't know how to say it, but I mean, you just don't know how the game's going to end. Is it going to be a clean goal? Is it going to be a wild scramble? You're not sure who touched the, you know, it's just, in a lot of ways, it has to be organic. To me, that's just the way I work. So it works. This one worked out, I guess. I don't know. You don't think it at the time that it's going to be something that people want to talk to you about 8 years later.
Well, and you know what, John?
Can I just say, I was thinking about it yesterday because I was golfing, which is pretty much what
shocking.
I do for 5 months. And I pulled out my driver, and the fine people, shameless plug time,
yeah.
The fine people at Callaway built me a driver. After that, and they stamped the phrase "Slay the Dragon" on the face or the bottom of my driver, on the plate.
Yeah.
And so I think about, it gives me pause to think about it in the summers now. Whenever I pull out the club and you see "Slay the Dragon," now Murph, who I play golf with pretty regularly, he says it's "Slay the Dragon" when I'm hitting it well, but when I'm hitting it poorly, it's just STD.
So you haven't
took you a minute.
Yeah. You haven't updated your driver in 8 years?
No, I need to, but it changed my life because it goes straight. And I'm losing distance to some of these guys, but it's in the fairway, which is sometimes half the battle.
You know what? To that end, talking about you don't know how it's going to set up, you know, that's the goal in 2011, but BX's goal that gets him to the final, Shorty, that was difficult to call, wasn't it? Because it was so obscure how the puck was moving around.
Yeah, I've talked about this. I don't know why it was so difficult. Because it seemed like from the fans to other people in the press box that they didn't see it. And I don't know if it was just the location where I was, because I'm on the at the time on radio, I was to the furthest right of the broadcast gondola. Maybe I was just on the perfect line to see it come off the glass. Even I didn't call it properly, in that I thought Henrik Sedin, you know, was saying it had been knocked out of play as he was, you know, tapping his head. But because he obviously, I think, lost sight of it too, but it comes off the stanchion right back to Bieksa. And I was in perfect line with the puck coming back to Bieksa. And out of the corner of my left eye, I could tell that Niemi, who was in goal for the Sharks, had no clue where the puck was. And I knew that as Kevin wound up to shoot it, that if he got it on goal, it was going in. Because Niemi was looking into the corner to his left and was clueless as to where the puck was. And so, yeah, again, blink of an eye. And you don't think about it at the time. You don't think, my goodness, like, that was a tough call. But then you realize afterwards that a lot of people had trouble, like, seeing it. And the best part of it for me, I guess, was that because I was the only one who kind of stayed on top of it and called it, that they used my call on the promo for NDC for the finals. So, and then that was my only little claim to fame, that I got to run on Network American Television with a promo for the Stanley Cup Finals.
Hey, Shorty, tell me this, because I would think, especially in 2011, it was still a time of social media and, you know, the digital age is alive and kicking. And most people are watching that game. They're watching the game. You know, the days of, you know, people just having to hunker down, listening to the radio. You know, you listen in certain moments, but most people, you're trying to find a television to watch the game if you're not at the arena.
You don't when have to soft sell it, James. I understand.
Thank you. Exactly. But do you know how to, like, but there's a call that is now in Vancouver pop culture, right? Slay the Dragon. And now it's become an iconic line, and I'm sure you get it all the time. But it's, when did you realize you had something there? Because I think in the moment, most people are probably watching the broadcast on the television side and hearing Huey's call. Like, when did you realize you had something from a radio standpoint?
Probably the next season when we traveled to Los Angeles and there was a group of fans outside Staples Center waiting to greet players as they walked in, because we stay real close to the rink, so there's no need to bus over. You can just walk over and go through security. And there was a group of fans outside who had Slay the Dragon t-shirts on.
Really?
Yeah. And with some cool, you know, artwork with Alex Burrows, you know, just sort of standing over the vanquished legend or imaginary beast, you know. So, I mean, that was when you're like, oh, this is kind of cool. Can I get one?
How often do you get that now? Like, how often do you get that from people? It must be still common.
I mean, once every year. No, I'm kidding.
Come on, seriously.
Not that often, but it's cool that people do remember it, whether or not they were listening, as you say, in the moment live, or just that they heard it in the aftermath because they were watching on TV, which is totally understandable. You do hear about it, and it's a nice feeling. It's a cool feeling for sure.
What do you make of what you've seen in the last 3 weeks of playoff hockey?
I went 1-7.
Yeah, well, I got one guy left in my pool. Yeah, isn't that crazy? Yeah,
I've lost all my conference finalists. I the only one I got right was the Islanders.
Yeah.
And I thought that was going way out on a limb. I thought the other ones were pretty safe picks. It's been crazy. I mean, it's been just fun to watch.
Do you think it's good for the game?
That all the Canadian teams are out? No.
No, not that. But what wasn't expected happened. That means you got a shot.
Yeah, exactly. And I had this conversation yesterday. I'm fully on the Columbus bandwagon, I think. I know they're down now, but it doesn't mean I like to think that teams moving forward are going to have a more go-for-broke approach. You know, I mean, think of the risks they've taken in not dealing – their coveted UFAs in on top of not getting assets for guys who could presumably walk as soon as this season is over. They bolstered their lineup. They went for broke. That's exciting to me. If I was a fan in that market, I'd be stoked about what my team's trying to do and the go for broke approach. So there's that. And also, like, to the point you were making, does this make us rethink this whole, what's your goal then? You want to sneak into eighth place and then lose in five and get a worse draft pick rather than, you know, tank down the stretch and have a better chance in the lottery? Well, I mean, guess what? Sneaking in and grabbing one of those bottom spots is proving to be, something that can possibly turn into something bigger. It's exciting for me that all the wild card teams are through, and you know that should, again, to other fan bases, give them hope and, you know, excite them for what could be.
Thanks for taking time away from the golf course. I'm sure the tea time's a little later on today, though.
9:38.
All right, hit it straight. Hit it straight.
Thanks very much.
See you later.
Thanks, Shorty.
Sportsnet 650.